Welcome back to another episode of Unlock Your Child's Full Potential podcast, where we're all about creating lasting connections with our children. I'm your host, Billy, and today we're focusing on helping our kids build awesome friendships. I'm super excited because we're revisiting one of our earlier episodes packed with timeless wisdom. Unless you're a longtime listener of the show, there's a good chance you haven't heard this one yet. And even if you had, chances are you're going to get something new listening to it this time around. My guest, Jessica Speer, wrote a fantastic book called BFF, or Not Really Friends, A Guide to Happy Friendships. I got the book for my daughters right after recording the interview, and I can definitely recommend it. It's like a fun quiz that helps kids understand what it means to be a true friend. It's all about recognizing the qualities of real friendship in yourself and others, making it super engaging for kids. During our chat, Jessica dived into why friendships can get trickier as kids grow, the different phases of friendship, and how parents can help their children through these changes. She also busted common myths about popularity and cliques, offering practical tips for guiding kids through the social ups and downs. Let's jump in and learn how to foster those happy, lasting friendships with Jessica Speer.
I have a background in social sciences, but I also have two daughters. And when they, you know, hit the preteen years, I noticed, you know, their lives and their social lives got more complicated. You know, so for me, that piqued my curiosity. I was really interested on what was going on there. And it reminded me so much of what I was going through at that age. So, you know, that got my wheels turning, which, you know, what first started as a friendship program. So I ran a friendship program for kids, and it was in upper elementary school. And then most of the kids that showed up to that ended up being girls. And there was such great information that I learned there that grew into my first book, which you mentioned is called BFF or NRF, Not Really Friends, A Girl's Guide to Happy Friendships. So I started there, and then, you know, my kids hit middle school and I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, so then, you know, I started to research and write my second book, which grew out of time I spent in seventh grade classrooms, really just trying to understand middle school and especially middle school today, you know, what their kids are going through. And now with, you know, everything moving online, you know, that was the inspiration for my third book. I'm like, okay, now, so now kids' social lives in many ways, you know, when they hit the preteen and especially teen years have moved online. So I've just been following my curiosity really. Because, you know, being a preteen today is really interesting and complicated. It's much more complicated than when we were kids, you know, and that's just a complicated age anyway. So there was no shortage of content and for things to meet, to explore.
Awesome. So they're geared towards girls, right?
Exclusively. Just the first one. And then the rest are, you know, gender neutral. So just the first one, because, you know, when I was running the friendship program, there were so many stories that were specific to girls that I wanted to share in that voice. However, the concepts in that book really apply to anybody and not even just kids. So in my mind, I'm already thinking about, all right, I want to write another book about friendship, you know, that applies to all genders. So I started there because there were some stories that were pretty girl specific that I wanted to tell in that voice.
Would you like to tell us one of these stories as a starting point?
Yeah. Sure. So, you know, and the way I like to write, you know, so I write for kids and I like to make books really interactive and engaging because, you know, when I was a kid, that's what I loved too. You know, quizzes and, you know, stories and things like that, you know, ways for kids to actually, you know, see themselves in the book. So this book has it starts off with the quiz, you know, how healthy is my friendship? And the next quiz is how are my friendship skills? And all of those grew out of the friendship program I ran. But, you know, I heard over and over stories. And in one of the stories I heard was often, you know, a friendship that doesn't really feel like a friendship. You know, and that's actually what got me the title of the book, which is NRF, which I made that up, Not Really Friends. Because I actually really wanted to avoid some terms that we've got in our society, such as mean girls and all this. But I did want to acknowledge that sometimes we have friendships that don't actually feel like friendships.
Yeah,
so I'm like, okay, how can I talk about that, but not add, like, you know, mean girl or toxic or any of these words that sometimes get overused in our world. So I just like, okay, let's describe these as not really friends. You know, so you know, that was
I love it.
Yeah, that's a situation I heard really often. In fact, that's what inspired the first quiz in the book, which is how healthy is my friendship? So we can take this quiz and we could say, oh, this friendship actually isn't behaving like a friendship. You know, the way that we're behaving in this friendship is not really, you know, full of friendship quality. So just kind of shining a light on that, but also recognizing, you know, the kids learn these skills at different phases in their life, you know, and they're all coming from different backgrounds and different experience levels and, you know, even neurodiversity. So, you know, I come at this with, you know, from a very like growth mindset that we're all learning these skills and we're all tend to be doing the best we can with the skills we got. So throughout all my books, I do encourage, you know, kids to keep an open mind because we're all growing and changing, you know, so I don't want to throw labels on young people because that doesn't give them the chance to grow and change. And we all are growing and changing so much, especially in the preteen years.
Yeah. So why is middle school a tricky time for many kids?
You know, and a lot of the things are, you know, the same things we experienced. There are some of the changes in friendships and people trying on new personalities and new identities and the feeling of cliques. But, you know, what I find is helpful for parents to know as their kids enter this age is what's happening, you know, kind of underneath the surface is there's a really significant developmental change going on for kids. So, you know, in their earlier years, so I'm going to say preschool through most of elementary school, not even all, but most of elementary school, friendships are based on play and proximity. So the kids come together and, you know, the friendship might form based on games they're playing, or they might be neighbors. So they're nearby. There's our proximity. They might be in the same class. That forms the basis of the friendship. Now there's this shift that happens. And what makes it trickier is it's happening at a different stage for every kid. You know, when they start to enter these preteen years, it's less about this play and proximity and becomes more about shared interests and levels of acceptance. You know, so that's where we start to see this big shift in middle school where all of a sudden, these friendships that might have been based more on play, some kids have moved on and are way into this other thing. And so in middle school, there tends to be a lot of changes in friendship, which can feel hard and uncomfortable, especially at this time of life where kids are starting to put more weight into their friendships. You know, they're individuating, trying to figure out who they are outside of their home. So they're individuating and then all of a sudden, wait, who are my friends? You know, and where do I fit? So it is this time of change. And for some kids, you know, it's absolutely no problem. They just sail right through. For some kids, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. So we as parents can just come into this with a totally open mind. Their experience is likely going to be very different from ours. So let's not go into this with any, you know, preconceived notions or stories, but just know that this transition is taking place and it's a really important one developmentally, you know, where they are kind of going from kid, but they're not quite, you know, teen. So they're in this preteen stage where they're just really figuring it out.
How can we support them in your opinion?
Good question. And so what I find is most helpful is one, we can stay really grounded ourselves. So, you know, when our kids walk in the door and they've had a really hard day or they're feeling really big emotions, what's really helpful is if we are this grounded space for them, you know, so we don't go off on our own, you know, emotional roller coaster just by hearing about their day. You know, we are a really settled presence, which can be hard sometimes because they might share some really tough stuff. So, you know, sometimes I have to like just really take a deep breath and, you know, just try to be as calming and opening my listening ear, you know, so often at this age, especially, they might not want my advice and chances are my advice is totally off base. So just really listening, showing some empathy, you know, sometimes the best thing I could say is, oh, that sounds really hard. Oh my gosh, that was tough. You know, so just hearing them and making sure they're feeling heard, empathizing and helping them manage those big emotions, letting them know they're okay. You know, that of course I would feel that way, or you have every right to feel that way. So, you know, validating that emotion, helping them figure out healthy ways to manage those big emotions, you know, because if we think about it, you know, what a gift if by the end of their teen years, we have helped our kids learn how to navigate uncomfortable emotions in healthy ways. You know, that's a real gift that a lot of us, we weren't given that as kids.
Yeah,
there was a different approach, you know, when I was growing up. So that's one thing that we can really help our kids know, is that this is a process and we all learn how to do this in our own way, but you know, helping navigate those big emotions, and they're perfectly normal and they're perfectly real.
Yeah, they should know that it's normal. And it's not something that they have to be scared of and hiding it.
Because then if they know that, and they know that you're a safe space to share that with, they're going to keep talking to you. You know, as soon as we start reacting with big emotions, or as soon as we, you know, are telling them they shouldn't feel that way, you know, they will stop. They'll stop coming.
In your book, you write about the friendship pyramid. What is that? And why it's useful?
But what I found, you know, when I was working with kids, is sometimes it helps them to see the lay of the land, because they're right in the thick of it. And sometimes it helps to pull back a little bit to see the bigger picture. And, you know, we as adults learn this over the course of our lives. But, you know, when I share this with kids, they're like, it felt like a relief to them. So I'll give you a quick little visual of the friendship pyramid, but anybody can find it, you know, on my website, or just a Google search. You could search friendship pyramid, Jessica Spear, and you'll find it. But, you know, picture like a triangle in your head, and at the very tippy top, you know, we have close friends, and you know, we know as adults that they're pretty rare. Those relationships that feel really close and safe and trusting, you know, we're lucky if we have a couple of those. Kids can know that not every friendship is going to feel like that. You know, that these are pretty special, and sometimes we even might have a period of time where we might not have that. And that doesn't feel so great, but you know, that's okay too. You know, if we moved or entering a new school, or we've had a falling out with a friend, that can feel like a really vulnerable time, but it's something that happens to us. So knowing that those close friendships are just the tippy top of that pyramid, big part of that pyramid are just friends. And I am really loose with this term, because I think these days, you know, with things happening online or things happening at school, and you know, so for me, friends is pretty loose, and it could be neighbors. I mean, it could even be cousins and teammates and classmates and people that you just enjoy being around, but it hasn't developed that level of closeness or trust that we might have with our closer friends. But that's okay. There's a possibility that these friendships at some point might, but a lot of them won't, and that is perfectly fine. It's really important for kids to have lots of kids in that friend bucket. And again, it might not be super close, but they're people that they just enjoy being around most of the time, but far from perfect, you know, because no friendship is perfect. And then at the base of the pyramid, I've got acquaintances, and these are all the kids that they might know, they not well, but, you know, they just see them across the school, or maybe they're on a different team, but keeping their eye out for future friends, you know, so keeping that door open, because I think sometimes, especially in the preteen years, kids start to close themselves off. But keeping that open, that there are other people out there to meet, and you just never know. But then running up and down the pyramid is change. So it is possible to go from a close friend back to an acquaintance.
And that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And so, yeah, it's heartbreaking, and it's pretty normal. It's so uncomfortable though, you know, in middle school, it might feel so weird that someone you were so close with, now you're not at all. And that feels weird. So I want to acknowledge that, you know, because it happens and it's uncomfortable, but it does happen. So, you know, again, just shining a light on that, you know, it's really common for friendships to change, and especially in these preteen years.
What would you advise a girl? Your daughter, for example, shares that her friend is not treating her the way she wants and needs her to. How would you advise her to proceed?
And I first, you know, would go to her to get her thoughts on that, you know, because often these social dynamics are more complex than I know. So I would first see how she's feeling in that relationship, and maybe try to get an understanding of, you know, if it feels like she's not being treated well at all, and maybe try to get an understanding of why she's, you know, staying in this relationship. What I have found, especially in these preteen years, is it can feel really threatening to just change. You know, some kids would rather stay in a not so great friendship than just feel like they don't have a wing person or a close friend. And so what I've seen over the years is that transition can take time. They have to make that move when they're ready. but I can, you know, talk to my daughter about, you know, what is it that's keeping me in this friendship, and you know, maybe start to talk to her about who else she might feel comfortable sitting with sometimes. And, you know, so just kind of opening the conversation and seeing where she is to try to get an understanding by that. But I think as parents, it is good to remind our kids of, you know, what are the qualities of good friendships? And we can practice these too. You know, how are we a good friend? And what are we looking for in friendships? And you know, just keep talking that through with them so they start to get some clarity in themselves as to what are they actually looking for in friendships. And sometimes when a relationship is ending, is a great time for kids to reflect and figure out what they actually might be looking for, you know, if they're looking for a new friend. So all of these times are just wonderful times of discovery. And sometimes it's just a matter of helping our kids figure out how to navigate conflict in healthy ways. But I find that most of the time that's what's happening is, you know, this relationship hits some sort of bump in the road, and I can try to help my kids and other kids navigate those in healthy ways. And what a great skill that is too, that takes time to develop.
Yeah. And might not even end a friendship. Might be just a conflict to overcome.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is so common. You know, I think sometimes at the adult level, maybe because of our past history, we might just want to like burn that bridge. Like, but what I encourage families to do, especially parents, is stay open to the change in these kids too. So now that I've got two teens, it's so fascinating to see kids that I knew when they were little and how different they are. So let's give kids the space, you know, because there's a good chance that that friendship might come back around, or they might have to sit next to each other in science class every day. So sometimes as parents, we think really black and white, but this is much more complex. Even if they really, really do not like someone, they might have to navigate being in the same classroom with them every day, or even being in the same friend group. So we can help our kids how to, you know, navigate these complex dynamics.
That's a skill that they're going to need later in life too.
Pretty much all these things are skills, you know, so it's going to take time. You know, they're going to mess up and other kids are going to mess up. That's what they're doing, is they're in the stage where they're learning all these really important social emotional skills, you know, and it's a tough playground because everybody's at different stages too. And everybody has different approaches. You know, that's what I've learned as a parent too, is, you know, my approach might be so different from, you know, another mom who might advise her daughter or son a different way. We all have different philosophies and values. Of course, it's complicated because there's a lot of things going on.
Okay, I'm hopping in for just a minute to tell you about the free resource I recently created. It's called the Connection Blueprint, and it consists of 5 tools that will help you improve the relationship with your child and create an environment where your kid feels seen, heard, and loved. After all the lessons we want to teach our kids require us to first have a trusting relationship with them so that they're ready to hear our advice and lean on our support. Anytime I feel disconnected and out of sync with my own children, I get back to this blueprint, put the tools to practice, and it works wonders. I'm sure having a loving and trusting relationship with your kids is a top priority for you too. So check the show notes and get your copy of the Connection Blueprint. You mentioned in the book about 9 hidden friendship truths. What are some of these truths?
Yeah, and this, like the friendship pyramid, what I found with the friendship truths is these are things that we learn over the course of our lives, but it was helpful when I talked to kids about this earlier, because then it was, you know, the light went off and they felt like, oh, okay, it's not just me. So you know, one of the friendship truths is friendships have different phases and change over time. You know, and of course they do. But, you know, when you're 10 or when you're 13 or 7, you know, those changes can feel abrupt and hard. You know, so we can help our kids know that, you know, friendship changes happen and it is normal. And they have different phases. We might be close with some friend and then, you know, that year might change or we might get moved to a different class. We might not be close, but then we might circle back. So helping them know that that is normal. That was a big relief to kids. Another friendship truth is, you know, everyone makes mistakes. So especially in these years, they're all learning and growing. Everybody's got different skill sets. So everybody makes mistakes. Another friendship truth, just kind of talking about that close friend level of the friendship pyramid is, you know, close friends hard to find. Yeah. So we talk about that. The close friends are hard to find. Not every friendship is going to feel like that. And that's okay, because close friends are hard to find. So just knowing that. That truth is just, it settles kids and they don't feel like I'm the only one that doesn't have a BFF. That's not true. Chances are there's lots of kids who might not feel that way, even though it looks like they're surrounded by a group of friends. Do they feel like they have a close connection with those friends?
Yeah. And it goes around popularity in school and all the cliques and these girls that 5 or 6 girls go together. They're all best friends. And you're from the other girls that just has one best friend and can feel intimidating. In your research, what did you learn about popularity and cliques?
And this really begins, I see this like in upper elementary and in middle school, where kids start to use this term popular. Because I remember that too. There was the popular kids. And so I wanted to figure out what is that all about? And here's what's so interesting, and you could talk to your kids about. So there's different kinds of popularity. Kids tend to lump it all into this one term. There is different kinds of popularity. So there's one type of popularity where kids are actually well-liked. They are leaders and they know how to include others and they're good listeners and they feel more inclusive and kids like being around them. So they're actually well-liked. In middle school, this other popularity pops up where it's more about notoriety and power. Yes. And so the interesting thing, and kids will know this, that type of popularity, they're not as well liked. In fact, some kids fear them. Yeah, they're a little bit scary because you just never know. You know, they're not always, you know, behaving in pro-social ways. So there might be
and you don't want to be on their bad side, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I found it helps to help kids unpack this. You know, so when your kids come home talking about the popular groups, you can unpack that with like, what is that? You know, what kind? I know there's different kinds of popularity. What kind of popularity are we talking about here? You know, do kids actually really admire and like them, or are kids actually more afraid of this group and it feels a little more exclusive and there may be some mean undertone? So just helping them understand that dynamic instead of lumping it all together. Because what the research says too is by the time you get to the end of high school, the more aggressive, you know, popular in quotes group, that tends to fall away. But you know, there are still the kids that are admired and well-liked just because they've got really great qualities as people. You know, so just helping them understand this scene, it can feel really uncomfortable for kids, especially in middle school. They might feel like they're not part of this group. Some kids very much want to be part of this group and are trying to, you know, so just, you know, again, getting back to those questions as to, you know, what are you looking for in friendship and what kids have you met that actually have that quality? So getting it back to qualities instead of, you know, status, you know, trying to pull them away from status, which is hard because who doesn't want to be seen and known by everybody, you know? So it is hard to pull kids away from the drive to status, but, you know, getting back to just qualities of friendship and relationships.
Great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that is interesting for research, and this is so helpful, especially for kids that might be a little more introverted, that some of the happiest kids have just one or two good friends, because the bigger the friendship group, the more likely that there's going to be conflict and there's going to be kids in those groups that don't like each other. And there's going to be some, you know, trickier dynamics. So your studies have shown that the happiest kids have just a friend or two. So, you know, keep that in mind too. You know, if your kid has a good friend, awesome. You know, that could be the very best place for them. You know, they have a good friend and they're not maybe caught up in some of the dynamics of some larger groups.
But if something happens and you lose that friend and you have only one friend, that could be harder, right?
Yes. Yes. So it is great to talk to kids about, you know, they will know in their school that there's some what I'm going to call floaters. So floaters just maintain like some friendships across the board, you know, and, you know, they might not even like totally hang out with some of these people, but they are friendly with some people so that if your good friend is not there or that friendship changes, you know, you have some other friends too, you know? And so, and that's just a great skill to think about being friendly and trying to cultivate, you know, it doesn't have to be a close friendship, but just being friendly with maybe someone on a team or someone in a club, keeping those friendships out there too. So yeah, great point. So if you do have just one friend and that friendship ends, that is tricky, but again, not uncommon, not uncommon at all. A lot of kids experience that, but if they can watch these floaters in their school and notice how they do that, notice how they keep, you know, a few friendships that they really like and stay connected with them.
Thank you for tuning in and letting me be a part of your day. Remember to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. And if you can spare an extra minute, please take a pause and give me a rating and review if you wouldn't mind. Your reviews make a world of difference. They help boost the show's visibility in the iTunes world. And more reviews mean more moms can tap into this mix of education, inspiration, and practical tools. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.